Welcome back to Spirit Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, we're here in Tyler, Texas at Trubia Brewing Company. Thank you so much, Ryan and Tracy, for letting us film here in this air conditioning versus the brew room. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Before we get started, I'd like to thank all of our sponsors. We really appreciate you guys a lot. Rex Consulting, Red Construction, Hoot Holler down in Gun Barrel City. They're a great package store. Hooked them up during the weekend. Goosehead Insurance, Stanley's Barbecue, The Vault, Humidor, Truvine, of course. And then East Texas State of Mind Coffee. That's a new sponsor. And I get to give this as a gift to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
They're the Texas State Coffee, and they're air roasted versus the gas roasted. So thanks, Blake and your group, for letting us give this as a gift for every podcast. Without further ado, we've got Brett and Jessica Noteware from Compliments of Caroline on. And you guys, it's an important month. October is very critical for what you guys support. Can you talk to us a little bit about how October is important?
Sure. Well, thank you, Andrew, so much for having us. We're really excited to get to talk about, you know, what's kind of near and dear to us. But October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And it is a very important month because so many people experience loss. One in four women will experience a miscarriage within their lifetime. One in 160 will experience a stillbirth. And that's, you know, typically, you know, a baby that's progressed beyond 20 weeks. So very common. A lot of people, you know, go through this. And the importance of the month is to just, you know, bring awareness to this. How can we support, you know, through healthcare, you know, just through social outreach.
Education.
And it's particularly important to Brett and I because we've actually experienced both miscarriage and stillbirth, but our first daughter, Caroline, was stillborn at 35 weeks in 2018. And she was the inspiration of our nonprofit, Compliments of Caroline. But just, you know, going through that experience, I think has definitely grown us both just as human beings, but deepened our empathy for others. So it's just being able to kind of reflect on that this month and work on our nonprofit to hopefully help others. It's important. And, you know, it's also, just kind of a full circle moment where having been through that, you know, and being able to give back, we're happy to be in that position.
Yeah. On your website, you stated that, you know, the loss of Caroline mm-hmm. was one of the hardest things in your life.
Yeah.
What was the transition like going from that type of loss to then giving your donating that your breast milk?
Sure.
What did that had to been difficult, but also I think I read that it was like rewarding. Also, mm-hmm. There was a sense of like she's still there.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. So. You know, like I said, we lost Caroline at 35 weeks. So we basically went through a full pregnancy. Right. It was very sudden, you know, like there were no problems with the pregnancy. And then all of a sudden, you know, my doctor's just like, I'm sorry, you know, there's not a heartbeat. So, you know, there's almost no time to really even adjust to that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I went through a full term delivery, you know, and I've said before, like I left the hospital with, you know, stitches and flowers and breast milk, but not a baby. You know, that was the only thing I didn't have. But as, you know, I almost like felt her kind of like urging me, almost like my kids now. I have two sons, Crash and Maverick. They're 5 and 2. And when they're bugging me for something, mom, I just kind of felt her presence just encouraging me to make that donation. And it was, you know, you're just like, you know, we've been through all this and the delivery and everything.
I want to be in as a hospital type setting.
Yeah. Like just get me home. I just want to watch TV or whatever. But, you know, it kind of made me sort of like get up, get out of bed and start doing something and focusing on something else. And, not only did it make me feel like I had still a physical connection with her, which was very powerful in that moment of loss. It also physically and emotionally helped heal me, you know, from the delivery of the pregnancy. You know, it was good for my body. But then also knowing that, you know, breast milk is full of, you know, nutrients, antibodies, all these things that could, once I donated it, I donated to the Mother's Milk Bank in North Texas, which they were amazing. And they're housed in like in Benbrook, Texas, just outside of Fort Worth. But they're actually the supplier for Christus here in town, Trinity Mother Francis, and they supply our NICU. So I knew it was very likely that, you know, my milk would make it back here and, you know, help another family bring their child home. So just that part of the gift was perfect. Yeah. It was like breast milk would not have been here had it not been for Caroline. Right. That was her contribution to the world. And
well, for then.
At that moment. Yeah. And you know, and it went to help another baby who was, you know, needed it. Yeah. So it was great. But I mean, Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas was just wonderful because I called them, you know, after the loss, after we were home, and I just told them, I said, you know, I find myself in this unique position. And they were so compassionate. They made me feel so good about what I was doing. They made it so easy. They obviously they do lab, you know, they draw blood and do labs and they, you know, they screen their donors. Sure. But it was really easy to just go to the lab, get the blood drawn, do the things that I needed to do to donate. And they'd send you like bags and, you know, all these things to help. And they just made you feel like, you know, what you were doing was so important as it is. Mm-hmm. And one thing that was very special to us, is that Caroline now has a leaf on Carmen's tree with her name and her birthday. But Carmen's tree, Carmen was the first baby. Her mom was the first bereaved milk donor. Mm-hmm. So Carmen passed away
in North Texas.
Okay. Yes. And her mom donated her milk. And so they named Carmen's tree after her. And it's pretty impressive. You know, when you go to the Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas, you see how many leaves are on that tree, babies lost, but also, you know, moms who overcame their grief to help others. It's, you know, a really powerful tribute.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yep.
So there were obviously people involved in the process of you guys kind of coming up with whether or not you wanted to do a nonprofit that's affiliated with this, because it should have been, I mean, it was a big enough impact where you felt like there needed to be something closer to home, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of, you know, when we first did, you know, the milk donation, I just had this,
there's kids playing out, so I'm like, I'm not used to that.
They're having a good time.
Yeah, good.
I know. Well, look.
They're not so much.
That's right. When we first donated the milk, you know, I kind of in my mind, I had this thought, you know, it's compliments of Caroline, like you know, compliments of her. And I was like, that alliteration was really beautiful, and I wanted it to continue. So I have a dear friend that is a sister. She's a nun. At the Monastery of the Infant Jesus Christ in Lufkin.
Yeah.
And I call her, you know, like they're my big guns. Like if I need something important, I'll ask them to pray. And I'm actually not Catholic, but you know, their prayers work. I'll just say that.
Absolutely.
And so, they had written me after the loss and, you know, they were very kind and, you know, asked if I needed anything. And I said, yeah, you know, we just pray that we can find out, you know, that we can be led to what Caroline's legacy should be. You know, I feel like there's something that we need to do to honor her, but, you know, I need to see that, or, you know, we need to kind of know what that is. We want it to be the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it took, you know, a few years for it to kind of all fall into place, but it has.
Somebody you mentioned to me before we had this podcast was Angel Lietz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who are they and how are they involved in...
Yeah.
Either the recovery or transition.
Sure. So when we were in the hospital, it's just a devastating time. I mean, there is no room as silent as that delivery room. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say that Christus Hospital, I mean, their staff just wrapped their arms around us and, you know, guided us through our darkest days. So I will always be so grateful to them. And also very grateful to an organization called the Angel Layettes.
Yeah.
They provide bereavement kits for people going through loss. And a couple of the, there's some like keepsake items with it, but I think the most important item is they provide the layette, which is a gown that, you know, your child can be put to rest in. And so you can imagine that, you know, in most of these situations of loss, the babies are small. They're not going to be like a normal baby size. They're going to be a much smaller size if they're, you know, premature.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I went to deliver Caroline, I remember calling my mom, you know, she's like, well, do you need anything? I'm like, well, you know, I don't have anything for her to wear. You know, will you stop by the house and, you know, maybe this will fit? And of course it was huge. And, you know, you already, I mean, you know, I've like failed as a mom. Yeah, I didn't keep my child alive. You know, I'm like, I don't even have anything to dress her in. And I remember lamenting that to the nurse, like, I have nothing for her. And she said, oh, don't worry. We have these beautiful gowns. They're Angel Layettes. And for me as a mother, that was such a relief to just have that piece of dignity,
yeah,
you know, for her, and, you know, to not be concerned, and that she was cared for and dressed and beautiful.
It's a local organization.
It is.
Based in Bullard, and all the gowns are handmade and with, you know, high quality materials, so it's not, you know, they're each one is unique and special.
They sent them
all over the nation too.
Wow.
So they're not just a local, they are a local organization, but they have a national reach. They were I think very critical and comforting us at that time.
For sure.
Yeah.
So when does it start getting serious that you guys, like, you know, what were some of the things that you guys thought about, private conversations? Not too private, but I mean, because I'm sure you guys had to weigh out a ton before you launch a 503C.
Yeah, you're just trying to fill the void, you know, in your life, because you are preparing for to have, you know, a child, and now you don't. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of soul searching, and you know, I guess we were called, you know, to,
are in the medical industry anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're our servants of others, right? Compassionate hearts.
Absolutely.
You know,
try to be,
yeah. So, I mean, you're already in a position, to give to others anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I'm sure that set up things a little bit, but to be, you know, essentially like to launch a brand in your daughter's name, is a big responsibility.
It is, yeah.
And, but you knew you knew there was a need beyond what the Mothers of North Texas Milk Program could provide, right? And there was some logistics that you could possibly assist with. And of monetary needs that maybe you heard about when you were in Benbrook.
Yeah.
Interestingly,
so Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas, it's a mouthful. No pun intended, but sorry. They actually started what they call the Donor Milk to Go program in 2018, which is, there's been kind of a series of interesting coincidences. I don't know if you think about things like that, but, you know, it was the same year that we lost Caroline, but they actually had a surplus of their donor milk, and typically it would be reserved for the most critically ill, you know, infants, NICU situation, that kind of thing. But since they had some more, they started this Donor Milk to Go, where babies, you know, like just as they were born, as mom's milk supply is coming in and they're kind of struggling to feed, you know, they could get a couple of bottles in the hospital, just kind of tide them over. So that's what the Donor Milk to Go program is. And I think they currently serve like 20 hospitals in North Texas.
Wow.
With that, which is really pretty cool. I didn't actually learn about that until 2022. And that was when our second son, Maverick, was born. And a sort of other interesting coincidence, Christus, where we delivered Maverick, had just gotten the donor milk to go in like August of that year. So just a couple of months before. And they got that because one of the lactation consultants, whose name is Caroline Pillsbury, her sister delivered in a Fort Worth hospital. They had the donor milk to go program. So she learned about that and she had them, you know, bring it into Christus. Yeah. Just a couple months before we had Maverick, I learned about it. I learned about the cost. It's $20 for a 200-milliliter bottle, so that's not even a cup of milk.
Wow.
$20 a cup. I mean, that's very astute, really, for anybody. And I realized, you know, that could be certainly a barrier for a lot of families.
$20 for a cup of milk.
Yeah.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you in need of some top-notch libations to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than Hoot & Holler Liquor Store in Gun Barrel City, your go-to liquor store for quality drinks. From smooth bourbons to crisp wines and everything in between, Hoot & Holler has one of the largest and most diverse selections in East Texas. Planning a special occasion? Let our experts guide you to the perfect bottle. You'll receive excellent customer service not offered in the big box chains. Visit Hoot and Holler today and let the good times flow.
Vault Arms is your premier destination for all things firearms. Extensive selection of handguns, rifles, shotguns, and accessories. Knowledgeable staff to assist you in finding the perfect firearm to fit your needs. State-of-the-art gun range equipped with the latest technology for a safe and thrilling shooting experience. Take advantage of our professional shooting instruction and training programs suitable for all skill levels. Host your next group outing, corporate event, or bachelor party at our spacious and secure shooting facility. Committed to promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. Fully licensed and compliant with all state and federal regulations.
If you are looking for a reputable builder with a proven track record and a client base to back it up, give Red Construction and Development LLC a call. Red Construction offers full design build services for new construction, custom homes, and remodeling with free site evaluations. They have an A+ rating with the BBB and are proud members of the Tyler Area Builders Association, Texas Association of Builders, National Association of Home Builders, and the Lindale Area Chamber of Commerce. Red Construction and Development LLC stands behind the exceptional quality of their work and have the expertise, the resources, and dedication to deliver the results you need on time and on budget. To learn more, give them a call at 903-630-8660 or visit them online at redconstructiondevelopment.com.
And we talked a little bit before the podcast. We know that some of it's processing, but some of it's market pricing. I've seen it. Like, I've seen people post breast milk. And it's a lot of, some bodybuilders use it, and then maybe people that are sick. Talk to me a little bit about why would it be $20?
Sure. So most of what the milk bank is, the cost that's, you know, kind of carried on to the end user there, you know, they say is mostly processing fees. So they have a lab in Benbrook. It's beautiful, state-of-the-art, but they, you know, they're screening the milk, they're looking at nutritional value, they're blending it. It has a lot number. Just like almost like a medication, and it's, you know, gently pasteurized,
regulated, so they have to pack of those.
Yes, and they, you know, they have a staff, they have overhead, things like that. So it's, you know, it seems costly, and I've had people ask me that before. It's like, well, if people donate their milk for free, why is it cost so much on the other end? And, you know,
I think some of it's processing, and from what I'm seeing online, I mean, some of it may be
market value too.
Yeah. But $20 a bottle.
I know.
That is not sustainable.
It's not sustainable.
For a typical person.
Right.
And let alone a single mother.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
So there's an immediate need.
Yes.
There. Yeah. So that way, because out of the kids that are born, is there a majority that have to have it, breast milk?
Well, I would say that it's You know, I think in that instance, in the donor milk to go, it has more to do with kind of like bridging the gap of just until mom's milk supply is built up. So yeah.
Producer.
Yeah. Or just getting established, you know, because it takes, you know, it takes a few days at least. And, you know, it just kind of helps. And it helps in the sense that, you know, that baby's fed, you know, if there's any issues with jaundice, you know, you're kind of able to ameliorate that. Takes the pressure off mom, so she's actually able to relax, and that helps with breast milk production.
Just maybe the taste and the texture of
breast milk. All those things. Yeah, and the research that we're seeing now. I mean, I hate to kind of jump to the punchline, but when that. You know, two bottles of donor milk, which is what we're kind of limited to in the outpatient setting per family. So it's just a limited amount. But when that's utilized in that first 48 hours of life, you know, down the road, the mom's got like a twice as likely chance of,
likelihood of being a successful
long-term
breast milk giver.
So it's more, I would say it's more like timing and just kind of a bridge.
Mm-hmm. It can save them a ton of money down the road.
Yes, it really can. If formula costs are crazy,
as opposed to formula.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it is behind lock and key now at the store.
It is.
Looks real safe. Yeah.
It is.
So.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I've seen in certain posts and things like that where, you know, some babies they can't take over the counter formula. They have to take a brand, and then you have people that buy that brand up because they know it's very valuable, and then now they're selling it, you know, as a secondary value. Well,
and there've been problems at the factories at Similac and some of the other places, you know, there could be a formula could be in short supply, which drives the cost up even more. So, you know, if you can produce the milk yourself, I mean, it's free and it's better for the baby.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Yeah. And, you know, when I first learned about this, my sister actually donated breast milk to the milk bank, and she had, like, some record-setting 18-gallon dish or something. It was incredible.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. Like, was she
been with, like, a wheelbarrow?
No, like, I have a picture. She's got, like, a full freezer. I think it was, like, 8 coolers or something like that. It was crazy. She drove, like, 3 hours or something and, you know, had it all frozen and... Anyway,
she had a reduction.
Yeah, pretty much.
A reduction.
Yeah. And I think her picture is still on their website too, as a matter of fact. But I thought it was weird. I heard about it and I was like, this is very strange. Like, why would you give your newborn child someone else's body fluids? Like, I couldn't really. And you have to understand, like, I'm a pharmacist. That's the profession you go into when you don't want to mess with body. That's the healthcare profession you participate in.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, I just thought it was kind of strange, and it took me a minute to kind of reconcile that.
Blood donation's the same way.
It's very similar. It's very similar to blood donation. And if we want to talk about cost too, like, I mean, a unit of blood transfusion is like anywhere from $200 to $500. Yeah. So when you kind of compare the two, you're like, oh, well, that makes $20 not sound like much at all.
Right.
Not even talking about like organs or skin grafts or any of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
There are plenty of things that people donate and that people need, whether it be before, pre-mortem, post-mortem.
Sure.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things.
Yeah, absolutely. You think about it in that context, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But I'm not a pharmacist, so.
Well, you know.
In North Texas, is there a surplus or is there a need?
Oh, I would say there's definitely a need. Okay. At this point, I mean, we're able to continue the donor milk to go program. We have enough to do that. But we are restricted to like 2 bottles per infant. Now, I've had people contact me and say, like, you know, there's just different situations where, you know, and it can be very tragic situations too, but where, you know, breast milk is not available for this newborn for whatever reason, and they want the child to have breast milk. Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas is pretty strict on there's got to be a critical medical necessity to continue that.
Yeah. To make an exception.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Then everybody would be making exceptions.
Right? Yes. Yeah. But they do, they make it very easy. And they do review everything too. Cause I've called and, you know, made some calls before to ask them, and sure, they do look at everything on a case by case basis. But, on our website, complimentscaroline.com, also on the Mother's Milk Bank of North Texas website, there's, you know, the link. You can, you know, click to donate or click to receive. And it's a very simple form you fill out, and they'll usually get in touch with you like within 24 or 48 hours. So, you know, certainly, that, you know, there is milk there. It is in limited supply. We certainly are always happy to get donors, and they definitely try to screen and get the children that need it the most and get them what they need. So
let's circle back to creating a 503C.
Yeah.
So what did the opening days of having a nonprofit, what did it look like? Because I'm sure at first it was like, holy crap, we have this, and we kind of have a vision for what you want to do. You guys have kind of an acronym for Caroline, like your call to duty on your website. So you probably formed that at some point. But what were some of the first like initiatives that you guys felt like you could make? Where did you feel like you made your first impact? Let's just talk about that.
Okay.
When you created your 501c or 503c, what were the first things that you did that you were like, holy moly, this, we just made an impact.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing we did was we had to raise the seed money.
Right.
Yes.
So you're like,
this is our accountant. I'm grateful for him too.
So even early on, I think in 2019 ish, we started having concerts at our house.
Okay.
Starting to raise the seed money, and we had several concerts there with musicians that came from Austin and our local musicians, and so that was kind of the original.
Like, oh, yeah, the dead party, right? Backyard party? Must have our haters, yeah.
We always invite them.
We have great acoustics in our home, so we generally do it indoors, and we have a big room where we generally have the concerts. But I think that was the, like, once we had the idea, then we had to start the fundraising, and we did it. I mean, it took a while. We did it over a period of several years.
Yeah.
So it didn't happen right away. It was a multi-year process for us, going from the idea and developing the idea. And then we didn't just, you know, wake up the next day and have a five.
It was hard for me to talk about that too. It was, you know, that was a very personal experience, and sure, it was very difficult to share that, publicly. But we did, you know, we did the house concerts. I, you know, I felt like there were these things in place that, you know, kind of prepared us to be able to fundraise and do things.
Oh, and East Texas is a very giving area,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
wonderful.
So, but there's also a lot of malapropisms here because we know that it's very giving area.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some competition with the,
sure,
for the dollar. Yeah, I have a lot of nonprofits that come on, and they all have, you know, needs that are worthy of the
absolutely
money.
Absolutely.
So it makes sense that it took a couple years.
Yeah.
Do you remember being the accountant? Do you remember the first money spent?
I mean, I'll let you take that. I mean, I really was deferring to my boss over here,
right?
She just said the accountant to Jess.
Well, and I defer to my boss, Caroline. So it's, well, I'd say that, like, we really, you know, as far as the formation of the nonprofit and the majority of our activity, I think our mission really crystallized last year.
Oh, okay. So
and
took a while.
It took a while. Yeah, it took a while because, you know, in 2022, I learned about the donor milk. I learned about the cost.
And then the grant. So you had a grant that you worked on, too.
Well, and we, We call it the Compliments of Caroline Donor Milk to Go Grant. So that's basically like our main focus right now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, it's okay. Interestingly, these, you know, things just kind of lined up and fell into place. But early in 2024, we had really just kind of a financial windfall. And, I got the checks and I went to the bank. And when I got the receipt, you know, it says on there when the money's going to clear. Well, it was on Caroline's birthday. And I was
that's crazy.
I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty neat. and it just kind of motivated me. So I remember early one morning, I just sent this long email to the Mother's Milk Bank, just to their like general email line. And they emailed me back. And I work for Christus as a pharmacist, and I take care of these outlying offsite emergency rooms. One of them is in Athens. And I was at the hospital in town here one day, and I was like, you know, I'm going to go and talk to the nurse educator on the mother-baby floor and tell them what I want to do, you know, with this donor milk thing. And so I ran up there, and they're like, oh, you want to talk to her? Well, she just left for Athens. And I was bound for Athens that day. So I just went on my normal route. And when I got there, she was there, and I just kind of sprung upon the fish shit. I just pitched it, and her mouth kind of dropped open, and she was like, well, you need to talk to Caroline. And I was like, who? And she was like, did you just say that your daughter's name was Caroline? I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh, my gosh. You know, she's like, we're going to speak to Caroline Pillsbury. And Caroline Pillsbury is the lactation consultant whose nephews received the donor milk to go in Fort Worth just a couple months before my son was born. And she, you know, brought it to the hospital, and she's just been an absolute champion for this program. She brought the program to Christus, and then she's helped me.
But it was on a smaller scale.
It was on a smaller scale, yeah. Yeah. And, it was, and so she brought the program to Christus, so the milk was there, but Compliments of Caroline pays for the milk, so now everyone has access to it. And so she has promoted that.
What would,
with a patient,
the trickle, it was like only the extreme exceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and now it's kind of the rule.
That's kind of where we fit in, is that we're kind of the money men that pay for the donor milk to make it free of charge to any family who wants it. And so it just kind of opens up access to any family that needs it.
Yeah, so it's been, you know, in the last year, it's been, you know, very successful. We've reached over 500 families. And I just think that's amazing, because we have this thing, it's called a smart form that the Mother's Milk Bank created. And it has a legacy, you know, Caroline's legacy on there. They can read about her.
Yeah.
And it's almost like almost every baby that's born, you know, in this area gets a chance at that, at least. You know, they don't, you know, it's only if they want it.
Right.
But they get it. And it's kind of like our little welcome gift to them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, small gift, big impact. It's touched a lot of lives. But I like to think of this grant as like, it's like three legs of the stool. So you have the Mother's Milk Bank, who they provide the milk. You know, they connect the donors with the recipients. You have Christus Hospital that distributes the milk, and they connect it with the patients. So they're, you know, and I tell them all the time, I do a lot of nursing appreciation and education and stuff, because if it weren't for our nurses and lactation consultants, the program wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we do the fun part. We throw the parties and have the fundraiser. We'll talk more about that. And you know, the generosity of our donors is what, you know, brings that, you know, like I said, the three legs of the stool that makes
the
program work.
So get the donor milk that comes with a package that includes Caroline's story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a QR code if they want to scan it.
Okay. Because I was picturing, like, you know, the Angel Liette's kind of that same delivery of hope and, you know, like dignity and all that kind of stuff, kind of passing it forward. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We love it.
Let's, before we get into your fundraising, let's talk a little bit about your website. We good?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've got
some of the statistics.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of the impact.
Person,
so, you know, we've just come up on 1 year of the program. And so the smart form that I mentioned is great, because that allows, you know, the parents of the baby or whatever to order the milk. But it also allow some tracking. And like, first of all, we want to track and make sure the milk's safe. We know what lot numbers go to who, if there's a problem with something, just like a medication. But they can check in with these people and say, you know, at 2 weeks and 6 months, I think are the check-in, you know, is it helping you? Are you still breastfeeding? You know, what it also captures some demographic information. And so at 6 months, they gave me like the initial data that we had received, and it was very promising. So,
the Humidor is your online cigar retailing headquarters. Our experienced staff has spent years finding some of the best cigars from around the world to sell to our customers. If you're looking for an online cigar store that can help you find your next favorite smoke, welcome to the Humidor. We began the Humidor because of our deep appreciation of the finer things in life, a good conversation with friends, an aged whiskey, and, of course, a fine smoke. That's why, in addition to selling premium cigars online, we also operate a brick-and-mortar cigar lounge in Tyler, Texas. Our lounge is crafted to provide a classic ambience with modern sensibilities, and we've spent time ensuring that smokers and non-smokers have an enjoyable experience, whether they're there for a drink with friends or to enjoy the game.
Are you looking to optimize your drilling rig operations and maximize productivity? Look no further. Rex Consulting is here to power your drilling. With over 20 years of industry experience, our expert team provides tailored solutions that drive efficiency, safety, and profitability. From site assessments to cutting-edge technology integration, Rex Consulting is your trusted partner for land-based and offshore oil and gas drilling solutions. Ready to take your rig to the next level? Contact Rex Consulting today and send your operations to the next level in operational performance. Contact Josh Simmons at 918-637-9181. Rex Consulting, level up.
I think the biggest take-home point is, and we touched on this a little bit earlier, but for at 6 months, moms who have received donor milk, 42%, like 42 to 45% are still exclusively breastfeeding at 6 months. Okay. If you compare that to like the CDC published national average, that average is like 24%. So, I mean, it's almost twice as much. Further that, if that child receives formula in the first 48 hours of life, that number drops to like 19. Yeah. So we've almost doubled the success rate of breastfeeding just by providing little bottles, you know, in the first couple of days of life. So, I mean, I feel like that's a really good return on investment there when you think of the long-term health benefits. You think
for
of
the mother
for both the mother and the child. Yeah. The reduced costs, you know, to the family for formula, burden on programs like WIC and things like that. So that, to me, that's our biggest, like, feather in our cap with just the success of the program. But other data that we have also shows how the grant has opened up access. So they look at the information from all 20 sites that utilize donor milk who do not have a grant. Christus does. And then it's compared to Christus, who has the grant. So overall, 13% of people have like a high school education or equivalent, like 13% at the like overall at Christus, that number grows to 32%. For people that are at or below poverty level, overall, 12% of those were receiving donor milk. At Christus, that number jumps to 32%. And the one that I thought was most impressive is Medicaid recipients. If they had Medicaid insurance, overall 17% were utilizing donor milk. But at Christus, that number jumps to 40%. Wow. So, you know, we've more than doubled the access in that area. And, you know, I've had the local WIC office contact me, and this is they actually learned about it. Because it's one of the WIC breastfeeding counselors utilized it with her pregnancy. But this is something that they can offer to the people that come through their office. I went to their breastfeeding celebration, and a lot of the moms that came through there with their babies said, yeah, we got to use that. And to me, that's just great because, you know, it's breastfeeding is hard. And, you know, just I think certain populations it's even harder in. And, you know, this is a way to make life a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So,
especially with nutrition and you know, access to nutrition was my point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's the, all the sciencey, nerdy statistical stuff
that's important.
That I like. Yes.
I mean, that's results too.
It is. I mean,
yeah.
But that's kind of our...
And it's validation of efforts, right? It's like, you did this and you, you know, you've done a lot and, you know, you do the concerts and the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. In the moment, it's fun. And then, you know, when the donations and the results come in, mm-hmm. then it's time to provide. And then you provide and then you get feedback and recognition, not the recognition that you're like, oh, you know, pat me on the back, but it's like the subtle things that validate your efforts and why you did what you did.
Right.
Or you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, sorry. Absolutely.
It's important for us to make it available to everyone, no matter, you know, how much money you make or where you are. Sure. Anyone, the donor book is available to anyone.
Right.
And, you know, if you're an underprivileged person, there you go, not saying that right, under the poverty level, maybe. If you're less fortunate, $40 is a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Especially like, you know, when you're paying for other costs associated with, you know, having the baby.
A newborn, yeah, so, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that $40, you know, that could be extremely impactful for that family. Cause like we mentioned, that could get them on the road to breastfeeding, correct, you know, for months longer down the road and save them, you know, potentially hundreds.
And they may have spent that $40, $50, $60 on prenatal vitamins.
Sure.
Absolutely.
On
any kind of, you know, visits that they went to,
transportation, safe places to flee.
Down the financial barriers is one of our main goals. And I feel like is, very impactful.
Yeah.
Let's circle back to this because I want to talk. We didn't talk about it before, so I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit. But let's talk about your website. But let's circle back to anything that you guys are thinking about possibly doing. Because the gears are already working for me. I'm already thinking about things. But you don't have to say anything in particular. But I think what you're doing is incredible.
Thank you.
All right. So you guys have a really easy to navigate website. Kudos to who.
Oh, thank you.
I can't remember who it was, but it was, I think it starts with the M. Anyway, kudos. Very easy to navigate. Tell us Caroline's story. Have your board of directors on there. Also has links. Talk just a little bit about how to navigate your website. Where do you go? Is it complimentsofcaroline.com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That is it. Yeah.
And what kind of things can I access?
Sure.
If I go to the website?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can learn about, you know, obviously you can learn about us, kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Everyone that's involved, I say everyone, there's a lot of people involved, but yeah.
There's a lot of that exact stuff, like, holy moly, like 10 people here.
Yeah, yeah, and there's, and even more than that.
It's the border. Well, we have to work.
True 501c3.
Yeah, it's a true story. So you can make a donation as far as, you know, monetarily, you can set that up. You can learn about events that we have. Our spring event is our Southern Food and Music Festival.
Yeah.
Family friendly, live music.
So this last year you guys had Kevin, yes. Mark.
Yep, Kevin Galloway.
Kevin
the lead singer of Volusius.
Yeah.
Mark Williams, who's a amazing cello player, and they just have such a synergistic effect on one
another. Amazing.
You hear them play music in our home with the acoustics. It's
wonderful.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So. We've known Kevin for many years. The first concert he played at our house was in 2016.
Oh wow!
So we've had him over many times, and you know that was kind of what I alluded to. We've had him play, and that kind of furthered the seed money to start the
right
to, you know, give the initial grant.
And it was a very personal concert where you're like.
Absolutely.
It was like the old school MTV Unplugged, and it's little to nothing to go either. But that same token, you guys are raising money for your, is the main fundraiser for your nonprofit, and or, you know, to help Kevin out too,
That was just kind of an impromptu thing that we had in addition to our our spring event, which is the Southern Music and Food Festival. That was, I got an email from his booking agent saying, yeah, you want to do a show?
Yeah.
Also, and I was like, yes, yeah, yes, or these.
The correct answer is yes.
And I'll make some gumbo too.
I'll make some gumbo too.
Yeah. I've had your gumbo, man. It's good. Being from Louisiana,
yeah,
that's a strong pros.
And then my parents live in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and the mirror, the grass, you know.
Are you duck confit, dirty rice? Was that the conversation?
So I'm
trying to
remember. Yes.
So my favorite dish is duck dirty rice.
Uh-huh.
If you make duck dirty rice, you got to make it, bad word, you got to make it moist.
Yeah.
Then that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
That is my dish.
Yeah.
Now,
I can get behind that as well.
Other than that, I always swore, because I grew, so in college I cooked at a Cajun restaurant, and my favorite, like between 2 and 5, was prep time. So you had your lunch rush, and then 2 and 5 you prep for dinner, and we would always make jambalaya, and you pour gumbo on it.
Mm.
It was like,
oh, great,
heaven.
It's amazing. The only thing that we found that would beat that or compete with it, we had pistolet bread, which you know is like just like a big roll, but it's soft in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And we would core out the inside and we would put crawfish etouffee in it. So you're like piping it into the roll. Hold on, it gets better. Then you fry it.
So now you got fried bread, and when you bite into it...
What was the name of this restaurant? Are they still in business?
They're not in business anymore.
Okay, we're adding you to the board, Andrew. That is non-negotiable, sir.
Well, I'll be on the gumbo board.
That's fine. I will take you.
The place was called Boudreaux's, of course.
What a great name. And props to those guys. They gave me
a job in college. But it's a Southern Music and Food Festival.
Yeah.
I do try to make it very Louisiana authentic Cajun food. I'm very serious about my gumbo. I get all the ingredients from Louisiana.
Yeah.
You know, my,
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, get it shipped in. I get boudin shipped in and, Kraflin. So,
my
favorite, just that Kraflin's have to be from Louisiana.
Yes.
Sorry, Texas.
Absolutely. You gotta have it, have a real
boudin balls from Billy's.
Billy's, baby. Billy's. Ooh, a lot of people don't know about Billy.
Jacob's andouille is where I get my andouille from.
Yeah.
And
a lot of people don't know about Crotch Spring.
Crotch Spring. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
But we really try to make that spring Southern Food and Music Festival fun.
Yeah.
And
it's family friendly. Yeah.
We have great food. It's always a good time. And this year's was our best.
Oh, yeah.
Event.
Yeah.
First year. Wonderful. Yeah.
Right.
Great.
First year, we kind of asked for sponsors.
Yeah.
And it was a great success. And so we're just going to try to build on that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Man, when it spins around, reach out.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Whether it's, you know, we'll get into the bottles piece, but
yeah,
whether that it's, you know, we'll figure it out. You know what I mean? All right. So you also, you're another avenue that you guys do with fundraising is with Stanley's, and that's the Roundup recipient.
Yes.
So I've seen it posted a couple times,
uh-huh,
and I didn't really know.
Uh-huh.
Talk to us a little bit about that. And is this where the divas come into play?
A little. Well, yeah. Yeah. Partly. No, I will say that. Thank you for reminding me about that, because the divas are really important. So Stanley's has been a great friend of Compliments Caroline, and we were there.
For us.
Yes, they're just
barbecue around.
Best barbecue around, and they care about their community. Just a great group of folks over there.
Yeah,
without a doubt. And so they've helped us with a lot of things. But particularly, most recently, we were their August Roundup recipient. So you can round up your total, and Stanley's will match it. And we had a very successful month. It paid for a quarter, you know, the next quarter of breast milk.
Wow.
And it was great. Yeah. So we were, yeah. Oh my gosh.
We're still a nascent organization. We've only been around for a year.
Yeah. They're our heroes. They gave us a chance. Yeah.
Help us out and put us on the schedule. That money that we raise is very impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
A quarter.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was.
Well, you're going to need to find some other restaurants to do so.
I know.
Yeah. And the donor.
Hey, Prime 102. Like,
hey.
Hey,
you know. So Donor Milk Divas is kind of a concept that actually I didn't think about it, but Caroline Pillsbury, our lactation consultant, it was her idea. But we recognize, you know, someone usually in the hospital, but they can be in the community too, that is helping promote, you know, connecting donor milk with a recipient. So a lot of times they'll, you know, she'll pick like a nurse or somebody, and we're able to, you know, take them a $50 Stanley's gift card and a nice gift, you know, a nice certificate, and just recognize, you know, the work they do, usually, you know, patient care or, you know, connecting, that, you know, that maybe with donor milk. Also, you know, there's, Nora Schreiber, who, is one of the managers at Stanley's, who's really helped us with that. Yeah. She was our donor milk diva last month because, you know, she was just so, you know, instrumental in the, and so when she didn't get a Stanley's gift card, we did something else for her.
She's all these.
Yeah, we figured she was flush on barbecue. Yeah, right. We did something else, but
that's good.
But yeah, so it's not, you know, limited to the hospital, but we do like to recognize our nurses and, you know, just thank them for what they do. And, you know, it's, to me, it's nice too, because, you know, this grant gives them another tool in their toolbox when they're taking care of their patients, and they've expressed that, you know, this is something we use, you know, at least once a shift, and it, you know, really helps our moms as far as reducing their anxiety when they're trying to feed their babies. And, you know, that 2 or 3 days in the hospital and that exhaustion is just, you know, that's a stress like no other. So, you know, if this is something we can do to kind of alleviate that, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's probably walk through Chris's, well, like, nobility. Hey.
Oh, I know him. I think I saw him. Let me kiss your hand.
Well, let me just say that as a pharmacist, it's really a good thing to be friends with the nurses.
Right.
So
it's good to be friends with the nurses, regardless.
Regardless. Yeah. So yeah. So I. Well,
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
My wife's a nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Stanley's too.
Yeah.
If I'm going to spend money, it's going to be at Stanley's.
Yeah.
And so we're happy to, you know, I think buying the Stanley's gift cards, this is another way to say thank you to them for all they've done for us.
Do the same thing, man. Do the same thing. All right. Let's get to the fun part.
Yeah.
Bottles for bottles.
Bottles?
Yes, which I think is so fun.
It's fun
kind of play on words. During you guys' spring fundraiser.
It was at the Kevin Galloway.
Oh, Kelly, okay. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
At the concert, and you guys asked for donations of bottles.
Bourbon bottles.
Bourbon bottles. Mm-hmm. And you guys got shrouded with some bottles.
Did.
So talk to us a little bit about, let's talk about what you received. Like, you're in the bourbon realm, and I am a little bit too, but I haven't seen any pictures, but I'm assuming there's some bottles that were picked by our local club, the
Yes.
Bourbon Society. So how many bottle or around about how many bottles you think you have, and then what kind of, give us kind of an idea of like what kind of inventory is going to be there, and then what you're planning to do.
Sure. So bottles for bottles, it's bourbon bottles for milk bottles.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the plan is to use the bourbon bottles to raise funds for the Donor Milk to Go program. We have around 40 bottles right now. It's a collection of donated bottles. There are some bottles from the East Texas Whiskey Club. And actually, there's I have a bottle of the mezcal from the East Texas Tequila Club.
Okay.
Well,
nice.
So I have a few bottles of tequila. It's mostly bourbon. There's some really higher end bottles. We have a Stag. We have Weller 12 and some other higher end bottles. And then just a variety of bottles that were. So the plan is to kind of collate them into different. Lots, you know, maybe three to five bottles, and then we will put them online for either a raffle or an auction. So,
okay,
but it's all to raise money to buy more
donor milk. Yeah, absolutely.
So that, you know, so this is new for us. We're excited. This is a new initiative. We're excited about Bottles for Bottles, and we should be updating on social media pretty shortly. So just you know, you can like or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
We also
or X. I'm sorry.
T-shirts.
So it's a good day. It's a good day to feed tiny humans. Hashtag donor meal.
Absolutely, it's always a good day to feed tiny humans. So yeah, it's kind of our mantra. So if you're interested in a T-shirt, those for sale as well.
Yep. I like it. I love it. Is there anything that we didn't touch a lot of?
That's the truth.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure we touch everything because
like, at all
everything's important, but obviously the fundraising is.
The fundraising is very important. The other thing that's
important, I think, is how this nonprofit impacts others and in the community, and not just in the sense of, you know, babies get donor milk, but it's been really interesting to see some of these stories come full circle. Also, Compliments Caroline is sort of one of the kind of the surprise benefits of it. And there's, you know, there's been several things that have happened that have surprised me, but one of them is that it's provided a positive space for people to remember, you know, children that they've lost. And, you know, I mentioned earlier on, you know, this is, you know, Brent and I, you know, we're not unique. Like many people experience, you know, the loss of an infant, or a miscarriage. And there's, it's just, that's not something you really talk about a lot. And it's hard to bring that up, but in this context, you can. Yeah. And it's positive, and it's joyful in a way that, you know, people can remember these babies and the impact that they had on them. So I've been very, you know, kind of pleased about that, and just the amount of support that we've received. You know, it's certainly helped us to heal.
Yeah.
And I hope that maybe, you know, starting this conversation, you know, has, you know, maybe helped bring others some hope too. The other thing that I'll say is like the full circle stories that are really cool. Like for instance, just today, I was up at the hospital and one of my technicians came by and she said, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to tell you that I ran into a nurse upstairs and she's going to donate milk." But, and the technician was like, "Well, have you heard of this thing? It's called Compliments of Caroline." She's like, "Oh yeah, I utilized it." She's like, "Did you know our pharmacist started that?" She said, "Oh yeah, I know all about it."
Yeah.
And so she, you know, not only, you know, did she benefit from the program, but now she's, you know, nursing her child and has such an abundance of milk that she's donating back too. And, you know, I just told my technician, I said, "You just made my day with that," because it's, you know, it's just such a wonderful, it's such a wonderful thing. But I also want to say, like, in all this, you know, I've talked about, you know, breastfeeding, breast milk, how great it is, all that. You know, there is no mom shaming. You know, if somebody chooses to go a different route and use a combination of formula and breast milk or strictly formula or do something else, you know, that is totally up to them. And so, you know, this program is completely voluntary. It's just something that we felt led to offer.
Yeah.
But, you know, I joke that my children have had breast milk, donor milk, formula, mostly formula, and now they get their antibodies from the food that they find on the floor. So, you know, they're, you know, it. I was
the 5 second
rule. Oh, at least. Yeah, maybe the 5 day rule. They found some donut holes that I'm pretty sure petrified. But, and I'm sorry if that's too gross to talk about on a podcast, but it's our life. And, you know, and so just to say, like, I would be very hypocritical if I tried to judge anyone.
Yeah.
So no judgment on anything.
Very cool. Yeah. I love it. Such great vibes from you guys. Really like.
Well, likewise, Andrew.
All right. So I hit you guys with a little shout out. I like to finish it. Feels good to me to finish no other podcast that I've ever watched finishes with a shout out. It's your opportunity to say thank you or recognize somebody, someone that maybe doesn't get the recognition, or maybe they do, but they don't hear it verbally. Maybe they see it on like text or emails or whatever, but hearing it verbally to me is just a different sense. So I'm going to start with you since you're not in charge.
Not in charge. I want to shout out to all of the musicians that have played wonderful music at our home.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Helped us raise the seed money for the Dharma to Go program. So that would be Kevin Galloway and Mark Williams, Stephen Cotter, and I believe they're the Rastabillies at that point. He's back in town, so happy to have you back, Stephen. Dustin Becker, Gary Freeman, and London Berkshire have also played. Chris Oliver has played as well. I don't know if I'm forgetting anyone.
We can forgive you if you forget anybody. We know you.
I love the local musicians. You really do impact my life in a very positive way. I think music is, helps people through difficult times and brings people together. So thank you so much for sharing your talents at our home.
And helping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So true. I think I gave mine away earlier, but my shout out is to Nora Schreiber, who works at Stanley's, who coordinates, their community outreach. She does a lot of things. She does the bus stop water project during the summer, which is a really big deal because, obviously the worthy ones, so they put cold water at bus stops. And that is, I've participated in that, and so I've been able to see, how important that service is and, what a kind thing, for her to come up with and do. Not only that, she coordinates a lot of the fundraising for nonprofits, within the county and the area. And not just helps with their fundraising, but also connects people. She connected me with WIC. She connected me with another group called Morning Forecast who, they do bereavement care in the hospitals. And it's really interesting when you start talking with others and you see how, if you do compliments, one another and, our values align. So I just have to shout out to Nora because she's really kind of a mastermind of that and really just a very humble and beautiful human and making a huge difference in this area.
Yeah. Very cool.
So, yeah.
Shout out to you guys. Great job.
Oh, thanks.
It's hard. And, I think the biggest thing is I haven't experienced your type of loss, and even 7 years later, I can feel the emotion
that comes across very, very just impactful. So I appreciate that. I know it's not easy to tell, but hey, you're telling it.
And this, she lives on.
Yeah.
And helping a ton of people. And
thank you for letting us remember her. That's wonderful.
And here we are talking about her today, and the thing about it is once this is produced, it'll go on forever, right? It'll always be on Spotify, it'll always be on Amazon, it'll always be on Apple Music. So that's beautiful in itself.
Love it.
Eventually YouTube.
Love it. Yes.
All right.
Great.
Thank you guys so much for coming on.
Andrew, thank you so much.
It's so much better than Dan, by the way. We're not going to go there.
It's a good day to feed tiny humans.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, good, man.
Yeah?